interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTW-RLM 433. And it sounds like I have a problem here with the encoder not starting. And I don't have the code for that right off the bat. At any rate, I'm going to keep going here just to put it on the tape. If you don't hear me on RLM, get over to the Spreaker. If you didn't hear that on RLM, I'm sorry. Moving into quickly here, looking at what the world is doing and how it keeps steamrolling in, what I've been suggesting is going to happen, did happen. See lots of people getting credit for doing this, and I'm not here to say to take credit. The point is, I want to keep reminding us, everything was written before we got here. There's, in a way, no reason why this should have gone where it went. Even the obstructionists inside the system were predictable, as I've told you. The system was already set up to do this. And so, that focused my attention on what really needed to happen, whether or not anybody really wanted to agree or do or engage. I realized this thing was coming down to each one of us. And so, we are seeing a global condition like we are, maybe in other places of the world. But I don't see how in the United States, where we're supposed to be that beacon of freedom, that the people who claim to understand about freedom and being free and being constitutional and being having rights stood up and did anything with it. And I just started to, I've been thinking about this. I wonder, again, I've been having lots of deep thoughts about what did I do. I thought about maybe people would be interested to know how they were being taken down. I was interested in that. I was interested in how this thing was done against us. I'm not immune from being ignorant of all that. They did a good job on us. But at some point, I started to figure out at least the part I figured out. And I thought people would be interested to see that. And what I found is that people may not be so interested, which is a pretty big shock in a way. And so I don't know what more to do as I look around, as I got into the mining hall and found out that people in the miners, I said this is the microcosm of the miner thing. There would be the macrocosm of America. In fact, miners generally could care less about protecting themselves. They just want to be left alone, like everybody does, but they want to hunker down and be under a slavery of sorts. And for those of you that were on RLM, I've been having a problem here, so I just got that stopped actually. I did the opposite. It took a little longer to figure that out, and I found the code, put it in, so I think we are now live on RLM. Thank you for the feedback, somebody. And the rest of you, front me in Cowboy Tech. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm just wondering where we are as a society. I'm wondering as miners, you always think of tough men. No, we're not tough men. I'm really an outcast in some regard, and we're going through this right now as I go through what the attack what we're given by the Forest Service. And yes, it's still a deal. And boy, there's a lot of work to involve. I'm having to raise my game as well. I need to head these folks off. Hopefully once and for all. And it's a multiple dimensional attack, a defense and then attack. So yeah, there's a lot going on. I don't expect anybody to understand what I talk about, but to hear people feedback saying now they don't understand what I'm doing, why I do, how I do, and lots of everything, but specifically to the mining, and have miners walk away, to have not then blame you, is indicative, again, the microcosm. People who stand up, who have an insight on things, aren't really someone that most people want to listen to because it causes trouble. And so all of you all that are stepping up, I just have to tell you again, as I just think about it, thank you for stepping up. It's a tough thing. You're not going to be rewarded for your stuff. You're not going to be rewarded. I say go just find that thing for you. Do what you need to do. I see this COVID nonsense as a threat. If no one else sees it even yet, And I mean beyond people who acknowledge that it's a threat. There's things coming down on this and the locking down that they're learning, the governments are learning that people won't respond to. And yet, as I told you, it would take time, but it would finally start coming out what really was going on. Not like I knew, but I could read, and I think everybody else can read. And I'm gonna bring something here that came to me just after, a couple things came to me just after the broadcast last week. And I can't, you know, I gotta wait the week to come back and talk to you. But I'm just wondering, I look around and do you get the sense we're dealing with a bunch of undiagnosed mental cases here in the world? And there's a lot of them. UN diagnosed mental cases. You know, I start looking around and I'm being ostracized in a way. But this is not, oh, woe is me. This is a fact. People do not want to engage. They want to be left alone. They're happy. I was listening to maybe Dr. Barron, I think his name is referred to from Dr. Vernon Coleman. He did a video and he's explained people enjoy this lockdown and people enjoy being abused like this. People enjoy being told what to do. People enjoy not taking responsibility. Now, I've offered that in the past. I don't want to commit to that. I really don't want to believe that. But, you know, reality is what it is. And to me, I've said this before, people generally are abused people, and they've been made that way. But that's not an excuse either. And I look out and I'm saying, relative to this global pandemic double-blind experiment, you know, the men and women are the blind folks, the double-blind experiment, I'm not hesitant. I'm in the involuntary control group. And you can prove this is not going to be an actual experiment because they're going after the control group. Those that should be those steady state basis for what's going on. They're attacking us. I'm not hesitant. I'm witnessing fraud on a global scale. To my dismay, how this is even working. But I'm in the involuntary control group. I'm not supposed to be messed with. And they're starting to mess with me. Now, I don't see this as any other affront as I do the mining claim and the private property and the denial by the government officials, either to enforce law on a criminal side or to attack us in our property rights, denying that we have property at all, which shows me that they're just criminals to begin with. Where did this disrespect come that we have to suffer this? Where is it, and I'm going to probably say this at some point, I'm still working out how I'm going to discuss this and dialogue this in a piece of paper, in a notice of some sort. That these folks, these government officials, don't have jurisdiction to have an opinion. Where did they think that they had an opinion that could be different than yours, and that prevails because of the costume they wear? It's no different the question I've been showing you and asking you to go in your communicable disease lodge, because that's the black and white. That's the objective basis. No opinion there. See, I've tried to show you, and don't make a question, don't speak other than out of the black and white, because that's the objective basis. You don't speak from an opinion. You speak as a matter of law. When you have coming from a matter of law, and boy, am I off on my points here, but here we go. As you speak from a matter of law, there's no opinion and there's no judge opinion that can prevail. And if you stick to that, your record comes forward almost unassailable, because you don't. There's always that off chance someone does have the thing you never saw, and this is where you got to be careful not to be too arrogant about what you know and don't know. Doesn't mean you question yourself. What you do is you continually question the depth of the research, the study that you've done, and the accuracy with which you've pulled together what you find is black and white. No one who's not a criminal can ignore or destroy. The criminal, you have a different issue with, but that can be found out. Anyway, as we move back, I'm probably back into this thing. I'm certainly part of an involuntary control group on a global experiment. I have no part of it, and I have no way to be part of it, but I'm going to now be forced. And I'm talking me, but it's all of us who have a counter thought. You will be, as I found in the miners, you will be vilified for your position and stance. So at some point, I'm telling you, it's not, oh, woe is me, look it up at me. No, this is a condition that we were subject to the entire time. And I was prepared for through the microcosm of the miner condition. That I could see out was going to be America, but it extends to the globe, and that this really can be seen and shown pretty clearly. People are just conducive to suggestion beforehand. That's hypnosis, mind control, whether you know this or not, whether you even are, you respond in revulsion to it, it's mind control. It's like that rent, you give them rent space in your mind, but here's the other problem. You can't disregard it either because it is an evil, if you will, coming on you. You're being presumed guilty of something you can't be guilty of at all. You're being presumed to be guilty of something, and the one who's doing the presumption is believing they have a jurisdiction to have that opinion. And that's all fraud. That's all fraud, and it's all really felony when you go and look inside your black and white law. And that's why I've been asking people to step up, seeing this all whole thing was coming at us. Now, getting back into what this thing is, it's coming at us, and I said that eventually over time we'll figure it out. The dots will be connecting and connected. I think this week we got a little a better connection. I think it confirms what I've been saying through my other sources that I came through to see it as quickly as I did the research, as quickly as I could prove there was no test, as quickly as I could see this was really more chemistry and chemical. We may have now the more definitive, I say more, I was going to be a little hesitant because we just don't really know. We just don't know what they're doing. We can only decide by what we see, and we find in a link that came to me, and subsequently a couple more links from people who listen and sent me emails here a few days here, and then this morning. Deadly shots, former Pfizer employee Karen Kingston confirms poison in C-19 vax. Again, this is an interview with Stu Peters. And what's interesting for me is who there he has now had on his broadcast explaining what is going on. And I want you to take special notice of it. Because I've also had people come to me and say, well, the experts are finally saying, the doctors have been saying, the experts this, the expert that. Oh, the experts are telling us everything now. And I look at that and I say, well, who were the experts actually? As good in natured as the doctors may have been, were they the actual experts? They had exclusive jurisdiction over patients that were given cases that never were. But were they the experts? And I think this link to this, you can listen to it yourself. You have to look at it because they produce a patent to a company that I touched in passing. I talked about the pegylation of this lipid. I talked about that in past broadcasts. I touched on it because, again, I didn't know. The graphene oxide looked like a component. I think last week I fairly well concluded that it was, but in the what amount and exactly how, relative to the exactness of these things that they're giving to us, and whether or not graphene, again, it's that double-edged sword, how much of this is really playing into the real thing, I think this week is then answered. And again, who are the experts? You listen here. A Pfizer employee, what was her job? She was a patent researcher for looking at the patent landscape relative to companies and their patents. I want you to remember that Dr. David Martin, I don't think, is an actual doctor like a medical doctor. I don't remember now. He's got a couple of masters, maybe, and a doctorate in something. I don't think he's a doctor like a medical doctor. This woman's not a doctor either. But what did they do? They were doing for economic review researchers into patents. So actually, when we look at this, I want you to take away something here. Go get the video. Watch what they say. It's all talking about charging and chargeability of the graphene substrate, if it's a substrate for an oxide. Just as any semiconductor, then it's also adsorbable with, it's a hanger, it's a function of being able to hang molecules onto the graphene oxide. It's a scaffolding. So it has multiple purposes. Why would that be? Because it sits in one of the more foundational elemental constructions, which has an interesting resonance to hydrogen 1, which is denominator of all. Anyway, go back to this. And that's what I track through, too. I mean, it's easy to start seeing stuff when you have a different insight, or at least you think you do. It's helped me. It's served me fairly well. But go back to this Karen Kingston, who is essentially a patent reader, and she'll expose to you the pegylation that's going on, and in particular, one company making the lipid that we've been questioning, that I've been looking at, that I focused in on, called Sino PEG, and in there you'll see that they read the patent and they reference graphene oxide, qualifying what I said last week for sure. I think now it's definitive they utilize graphene oxide. In what capacity will still be, it's not so much a question anymore. But again, whether or not it's the cutting razor blade of all your cells or not is can be a question. That stuff we just don't know. We can tell, though, it's not something, essentially, I would say, I don't want this thing in me. It's a novel, made-up, synthetic lipid that Trojan horses, another construction to hide it. And this brings up some interesting dialogue that she talks about. She mentions in this, looking through the patent and how it's supposed to work, not that it's 99%. I think that prior Stu Peters interview, that was just a mistake, and it could have been an innocent statement. Mentally, you're talking in an interview, you're hyped up a bit, you kind of misplaced quite a few decimal places. Caused us to relook at it, but it didn't disqualify that there might be this thing going on. The patent pretty well ends it. This company is the only one that makes that lipid. And guess where it comes from? China. So, Sino-Peg, Sino-China, right? S-I-N-O. Sino-China. That's the only, where they get this lipid, apparently, the one that they use. At least in the ingredient list of the ones, the death destruction serums that I've witnessed myself from the official documents. And so they go to China, a company in China, to get the lipid that has in it this also potential biological, which I don't think it is. I still think the RNA is a synthetic chemical construct. There's nothing alive in it. It's not a virus. And that's why we're not getting viruses and there can't be a variant. What you're getting is the body's response, and we're testing for that. And this is coming up, a big revelation that no one knew, I guess, about the test coming up. Also came out to me right after the broadcast. Now, she talks about these things as ionizable, chargeable, and polymer dielectrics. Dielectrics, I told you already, are pretty interesting in that the dielectric itself is not conductible, but it can hold the surface charge. And this started to get me thinking on how this was all working. And the dielectric that she talks about, and go, okay, quickly to the China. So everyone's buying a product from China. This is not a China virus. This is a chemical component. If I not even go to the chemical bioweapon, it's being assembled into a bioweapon. But it's being bought, willingly bought, and funded by the United States to buy from China. It can't be the China virus. First of all, it's not a virus. Secondly, it's a product that everyone knows what it does. And it's experimental. And it's all patented. It's all commerce. Now, my mind goes up to the Trading with the Enemy Act. This seems to have fallen away from the problem here. But let's not diverge too far for those of us that are thinking about some of this. And finding out when you look in the world, there is no law. And the people better step up and provide the law because it doesn't exist in the system. Anyway, going back, you have chargeable polymer or dielectric. So dielectrics are kind of interesting. You charge the surface. They don't conduct themselves, but they'll hold the charge. Dielectric is also known as an insulator, which carries its surface charge. And you know of them, whether or not you know of this component, a dielectric, in a capacitor, which lots of people have heard about. They store charge. They act like a temporary battery. They don't recharge their energy without you putting it back in for storage. It's simply a storage device. But acting like a battery, it has a certain amount that energy that it can give off. It's constructed in a certain way. It's interleaved layers of dielectrics separated by another insulator that doesn't have that quality. And it charges. It can be charged up and stores a charge. And you know that these capacitors are very high voltage. The fact they can hurt you. Some of them can kill you. Capacitor banks, big marked capacitor banks are used for the most state-of-the-art high-energy discharging. When they need a lot of power, they use a capacitor bank to do it because it's instant, almost instantaneous discharge. So all this stuff is going through my mind as I'm listening to this video, not just listening to the sensational, but I'm listening to the fact of how accurate I have been. Even though I'm looking at different sources, I'm putting the dots together fairly accurately all this time. And I'm always concerned that I may be wrong, and I don't want to be wrong. And so far, so good in all that. But getting back, the capacitor is this dielectric. Well, in the lipid construction, The lipid is a dial, is an insulator. And those of you that know Tesla know that too. Okay, so some of you guys, some of you folks already know about all this, how this, you actually can construct these things. That this, when you look at this construction, the corona construction that they adsorb onto a framework, they throw it into multi-layers of lipids, which the body accepts. And if you look at the instructions, there's four lipids. Three are natural, if you will. Three are naturally occurring. One is the novel one. The novel one is the, what I call the Trojan horse lipid. It's made specially to do what it is, but it's wrapped up in a bunch of other protective coatings, so the body just passes it through as it just goes through this system. The body believes that it's something it's not. And these are so small, they can do this and build them up so that they don't look any different in size as they go through the different places. But it occurred to me that if these are all formable, the substrates are creative, you can create them in a shape and forms, and folding can be not much different than making a capacitor, depending on what your design is. That they also know that the protein becomes a spike, they call it, and they have more technical names than I'm going to give it here. But when you think about spikes, and this is pretty much what that is when it comes down to it, and electricity, and those of you that know about Tesla, he was good. He also invented lightning rods. And you'll notice that they were mushroom-shaped, if you will. They're round because of the way they absorb energy in from the atmosphere, actually coming up out of the earth as well. And they dispense it so that they dispense it out so that it doesn't concentrate. They're round because they don't concentrate. A point concentrates energy. It takes all the energy in the stored body, and it focuses out to the very point. And it comes off of that point in a high energy discharge to wherever it's going to discharge to. So I was thinking about this, and it would seem plausible to me that the two self-assembling, interlacing, spike scaffolding graphene sheets could make a capacitor in the lipid insulate that they've made for the purpose of charging and discharging. Now, that brings us into charging by electromagnetic impulses that are tuned to the frequency of the spike length by some resonant half length multiple. And so this is where we get into higher frequency things to charge and or pull information off as well, when you know this, how this works. And each spike or pairs of spikes would actually be a potential capacitor that could actually discharge, and it's fed from the construction of it. Because here was the other thought that came to me. We've been hearing that these novel bombs, these novel structures, these novel spike proteins actually go and kill other cells. And so I was wondering, well, how does that work? Well, if you have a capacitor that you've formed because your construction or your graphene can form itself into three-dimensional structures on two-dimensional platforms, those are your plates, connected to the spike protein, then you've created yourself a taser, essentially, at the cellular level. In my mind, I'm just making this up, but this is what's going through your mind. And then you have a coronal field that has a bunch of those spikes. Wherever that thing goes, it could actually discharge. And so that was one of these thoughts. I started looking at how this woman was talking and what she was talking about, confirming everything I thought I saw in it, in a patent, and everyone's buying without the United States government or the military of the United States government worried about the fact of this China virus, misnamed on purpose. It's all part of the propaganda. They want to make you think that they're fighting for you, and they'll work on your happiness and your misery. And so she also mentions in this that this oil, and I may be incorrect, but I'm going to go with this anyway. She mentions it's also an excipient, and that, she kept saying that, and it kept reading in my mind. I didn't like this idea of an excipient being a package of four layered lipids wrapping as a Trojan horse into a protein spike, which then gets produced from this cell that it invades. That lipid, as a multiple leveled thing, a lipid normally can do this word excipient, be an excipient, but because it has four levels that actually serve a function, I can't really believe the lipid is excipient the way she was saying. the more technical, I think, definition relative to these formulations, the novel lipid of these destruction death serums is not fully inert. And that's what an excipient is, typically inert to the whole process. It may enhance, it may function to do certain things. In the case, it does a stabilization or therapeutic enhancements that they tell us that it does. It does, though. So it's an excipient that way. But this is not a particle. I would say the three natural oils are excipients. The one that does the dirty deed, I don't think is an excipient. And so I'm wondering, looking at the patent, not like it makes a big difference, but just for our understanding, they've actually weaponized what they claim is something to be inert. And I'm wondering if that inside there is how they're going about not being able to say, oh, well, this is going to be authorizable, because it doesn't really do anything. And it's a misuse of this excipient status. It's supposed to be inert. That one lipid's not inert. It does stabilize, potentize, as they say, and therapeutically enhance this process. But it has an active payload. It's acting as a Trojan carrier for as a Trojan horse. And that thing that's inside that is not separable from the novel lipid that's patented. In fact, it's been made for the purpose. It's a wholly weaponized principle, not merely a normal, excipient, inert lipid. And so I guess I'm going through this process because this is the types of things, and maybe it's a bit excess, but I don't think so. It gives me insights to go through in my mind and qualify. What am I hearing even from something that's confirming what I've said? Are we really looking at this thing the way, do we take that expert? Is that the expert I want to fully listen to? Well, everybody seems to have a glitch in their matrix. I have some, I suppose. I'm still waiting for a lot of them to be exposed to me, but I tried real hard not to have too many. And if I see them, if I have that double image going on, I try to fix that part. But this is where the glitch happened. And I think that we're seeing exactly the definitive nature that the graphene is involved. And I wouldn't say don't put blinders on graphene. There's all kinds of other materials that can become semiconductors and do similar things. Maybe not as good as graphene. It may be the best. And I think I've found that it is. But don't exclude that there are other ways and forms and shapes to do the same types of things that they've been doing a lot. And so what I'm seeing here in moving this through, because this all relates to what I've talked to you in all the time, and not to look forward and predict, but to actually start looking back and say, it was predicted, I've stated it, and here's all the proof of how, because I'm looking at how they're doing it to us. So this is where we move. We have the Trojan horse inside the carrier, and I said, what you have in the way this thing works, which people refer to the outward effects being the Delphi technique and those that would do it and the people that support it and there's other things like that. You're looking at the thing those people use, the warm and fuzzy thing to stop and cure and fix in the world. That's the stalking horse is now, that I've been explaining for years, is now we now see it in the Trojan horse within this lipid. We're going from a stalking horse condition that I've explained to the Trojan horse condition. And you'll look around in the world, and it's not just in COVID. It's just about everywhere else. It's all the same thing. Inside the system that you think is wholesome, that's received by you as a normal lipid, is actually the Trojan horse weapon that sat inside your government that you thought was your government, but never has ceased functioning like your government a long time ago. That people complain of is bad government. Well, it's not really government. It's an overthrow. It's that occupier that I keep talking to you about. And so we move from stalking horse to Trojan horse, the actual weaponization of what you're watching coming on the world. But we have to have a bunch of unrecognized, undiagnosed mental cases going on to accept it at the level that I'm seeing. And then to act out improperly against the foe is really an astonishing thing, although I can understand it. If you're not dealing with a real foe, a real physical foe, you can be manipulated in many more ways. And that's all been studied for a long time. So this Covey fraud implementation happens right under our collective noses, as we become that collective just by our lack of response to properly redress it. And this, again, as I was saying, it shows itself in different ways. It shows why this is just another Delphi technique. This whole thing is a Delphi technique. It's a setup to an outcome. It's a setup for the takedown. I've really talked about all of this. That's why I see this being one of the things that really is the focus we need, that we can use. We could throw this whole thing off if we just wanted to as people. This is now exposed. There are people, the rats are out, and they feel bold. We see the experts they rely on. And I'm going to get to this. Who was the experts in this whole thing? We've been waiting on the doctors, right? We've been waiting on the lawyers, right? We've been waiting on all the experts. But what did we need? Who was the real one now exposing what was going on the whole time in the patent? Was it the doctor? Is it the experts? And we got to be careful about assigning them to be experts. And that's why I question really some of it, but not all of it. You cannot rely on an expert. The expert itself denotes that you're likely in a Delphi technique. That's why I usually don't just take someone's statements just and embrace them at all until they go through the filter, the discernment. So I don't want to call them the experts, but relative to us expecting experts are in the doctors now proving it's a fraud, a hoax, and have been saying so now and being vilified, who are the real experts? Are the patent readers. The patent readers are explaining what this thing is and that it was there and you had it as a patent and it was agreed to as a patent. In other words, given sanction by your government to then be purchased by the government to come after you. It's a little bit different view, I think, than just saying, oh, you're causing bad vaccines. You can't name the vaccine. We're not taught. We're way beyond vaccine. We're way beyond that it's not a vaccine. No, this is a plan by the governments of the world. I don't know how they're pulling it off. I don't know why you're allowing them to pull it off. But this is using a stalking horse called symptoms to insert into societies a Trojan horse that the ramifications of which I can read. I can go find out all the studies. I can tell you we've got problems going on at least 3 years that they know. We have evidence that the industry knows about that, looking for hirelings here in the next 3 years. We've heard about all this. Possibly because of the systems of the body at hand, it damages for healthy people that do get into this problem down the road even further. But we can't really tell what's going on. That they've taken the stalking horse of disease pandemic that they invented, got everyone to buy in, and the experts were not the experts we should have been looking at. That are the experts, if you will, relative to having to have experts for the purpose of finding out and having something we can trust in, were really patent readers. And I guess I'm getting to the point is, see, patent readers is every one of you. Everybody can read the patents. Yeah, sometimes the technology, you have to up your game on what you're looking at. But there's really, again, no excuse. We don't need to go. I guess I'm trying to tell you here, if I haven't said it, you don't need anyone else. I haven't needed anybody else. I checked to see whether I've needed anybody else. And what I needed was really the confirmation of what was out there for us to find. The only thing I needed in anybody else was their efforts in doing their basic, normal, routinely done things in the world that were evidence and record to me. Kind of how I use the black and white. It's the same study. It's the same analysis. These experts are methods of deception and control. So be careful in creating an expert. As soon as I see an expert say, and that's where the distinction here with this, the woman here from Pfizer, and then the guy, David Martin, who's not, to the extent that they're telling us the truth and not the expert more, they're not part of that problem. They're not a method of controlling the deception. And you'll find that as you start adding your information up, how they're actually explaining a reality. And you look around and in the reality, you can see it going on. They're not referring to the sensationalized part. It's why I still analyze, oh, we can talk about graphene. We can get all blown away by graphene and that it's in there. But is that really, do we want to sensationalize that to not say there is the evidence of a construction that means a plan, and that plan was attached to something, and it has an intention. And am I on that rail track at the time that the train comes by or not, I guess is the only question. And am I looking in the right direction? And that's what we're seeing there. We're seeing the evidence of how this is being planned out. It eliminates a lot of things, and it's how they're doing it. Not necessarily that it's just being done in this regard that, oh, they've got graphene and it's dangerous. No, this is a whole plan. This is, and the governments are involved, deeply involved. And until we figure that out, I don't know, and you're going to hear, I got to get onto the tabs now. I've told you it's going to get worse and worse. The military is being thrown in. This is, now this last week, I couldn't believe how many things in different countries are going on. I've been explaining this method of the, like I said, everyone wants to call it the Delphi technique. That's just one of the outward tools they use in order to get the buy-in. That should also indicate that there's nothing more behind that. There's more that allows that technique that you should be more concerned with. It's what I've been telling you was sitting in the Bar Association. It's what sits in the university system. It's in academia generally, even if it's not the university system. That goes into corporations. That goes into what they're planning, and that's all integrated with the government. And we know that because the pillars of the UN agendas are what the missions of United States federal government agencies are. The EPA is the most obvious. These are foreign agencies, essentially, in the United States. So that's then why I said we got to delink the Fed from the state. We got to ensure that. And interestingly, the health prerogative is with the state, not the federal, as I pointed out all of this. And so that then guided me what I was leading with to tell you and structured how I would research how and what to look at to help all that would want to start help try to make the records that they needed in order to not let this roll onto them. Give yourself another distance. Give yourself a little bit more space. Because if you'll notice that no one's talking jurisdiction, nobody. They don't want to let you know that's part of it. They don't have jurisdiction to have an opinion. And there's a whole process, a due process that has to go through to have it. So you have a violation of due process right off the bat, and that's about the only thing I know anymore. You have to claim right up front that there was a due process violation, because otherwise you probably don't have much of anything left. Now, I've talked about all this as well. So right now I'm just even wondering, looking at excipient being really inert, not being an involved party, I think not only am I not hesitant, I'm really excipient to this whole condition. I'm attempting and to show you how to be inert to it. However, given the biology that's affected by the chemical weapon and these other considerations as to shedding and reconstruction of what sheds and what they attack in the body, the structures of the body they attack, like the plasma shedding to cause more plasma shedding, those that are healthy are now the focus as all the so-called Delphi techniquing happens. They attack what they want to destroy and offer an alternative. And right now, what they want to destroy is healthy people, and they're going to offer an alternative that has never been tested. And so you got to go look for the savings clauses in your life, if you will. And this is what I've been focusing on to help anybody who's interested to know. That you're trying to be inert to this so that you don't get yourself all emotionally wound up. And you also have to be involuntarily placed. And the way you prove that is not by your opinion that you are, not by you saying no. You say no in a particular way. And I've been explaining this for a long time. So I'm not, I don't claim that. I'm one who accepts. I'm taking exception in the legal sense. I'm objecting. All this is to inert the substance used as a diluent or the vehicle for a drug. You take the position that you're not supposed to be involved. And you have to show them that they have no jurisdiction. So anybody who claims I'm hesitant right off the bat, you have to address that. Then come up with something else. But I've been thinking, it's a little bit difficult to come up. They really are pretty sharp on how they do this. But to claim I'm hesitant at all is really a fraud. It's a false witness. So until I really, at some point, until I needed to look elsewhere or more, I'm really excipient to this. If you want to talk about these are excipients, I'm going to go ahead and jump in on that. But I'm going to use it in the more common law, common knowledge, the term of being inert, along with a control group underneath science. Not a controlled group, the control group. So those of you that are listening carefully, oh, so you're controlled. No, that's the inert one. Listen very carefully to how they've twisted the language and where each jurisdiction uses this language a little bit differently. I'm excipient to this. I'm inert to it. And then anybody that comes and blames me is really the criminal. By various methods. Fraud, false witness, lack of jurisdiction, acting under color. These are all really high crimes and misdemeanors. And until we get a body of people that understand that, I'm not sure where we end up. I mean, I don't know. You know, we were talking in the chat room here briefly, or the comment was made in the chat room. That, you know, Lemmings leap. I used to say about the Lemmings leap, and then you know that not all Lemmings leap. Don't be leaping Lemmings. There'll be a few that hold back. How about if we become those that hold back, become inert to the flow of the herd? And it takes a little bit of knowledge. And part of that knowledge is understanding what works and what won't and seeing that quickly. And so last week, right after the broadcast, it came to my awareness that the CDC and the FDA had gotten together a couple days beforehand, and I put in two tweets at Twitter for this broadcast, just to remind me so I didn't lose them, that the PCR test that the government's been using all this time that I told you, well, I confirmed to myself in, I think it was about March or so of 2020, there is no test. And I've been advocating that knowledge for a long time. And it's very interesting. I look at the Twitters and I have one or two people that retweeted this. So a lot of interest in a very, very important piece of information. In other words, there is no interest in very important pieces of information, at least from the guy behind the woodshed. And that's okay. And I'm glad to find out someone finally wrote an article that someone does listen to. And he brings out one more piece of information. But I said, PCR pulled and gave a link, and FDA found significant problems. Quote, the FDA has determined that there are significant problems with the tests being offered by the laboratories listed below that cannot be or have not been addressed in a timely manner. The other tweet I sent out for preserve the other document was a question, really the answer again, I don't really ask questions. What to do when the gold standard can't differentiate coronavirus bogus and influenza? Their comment from the CDC is to consider adoption of the multiplexed method that can facilitate detection of differentiation of SARS-CoV-2 and influenza virus. I had the comment, now you know how fraud killed flu 2. Let's unpack that just a little bit. When you go to the website, you're going to find out that the FDA or the CDC makes it sound like they're pulling back the request as of December 31st for the use of the PCR. If you read inside of what they say and you start unpacking what they said inside that statement, is that they have never had an isolate. They have never been able to do this, and it was never really the test. Now, we all know that. What I'm saying is that this is the out of the horse's mouth, but they've really never had the test. The FDA seals the coffin by saying that it has found significant problems which were not ever fixed. And I want you to apply this now backwards and say, then what was everything they told you based on? How this doesn't shut the whole thing down is a marvel to me. But I'm not the only one speaking about it. And we go through their website, and we can see the changes to the CDC RT-PCR for SARS-CoV-2 testing. Well, they go in and say that they want to do a multi-assay. We've looked at that as well. The multiplex situation is still using essentially an RT-PCR style of addressment. But when they did it, I told you they combined the influenza because they used different reagents. That they're looking at a test that looks at more things. And I told you that they were going to have to somehow cut themselves loose from the influenza pool of death numbers, because they're looking at a problem in the future, coming very quickly in the next flu season. Now, when their jab stops working, when the number of asymptomats are overtaken by the flu numbers that were last year attributed to the flu for COVID, and their flu jabs are supposed to be working, they're going to run into the wall of reality. They've delinked now this PCR test. They now claim they can do it underneath the multiplex test. In fact, what they can do now is not test for SARS-CoV-2. They know that there's no isolate for SARS-CoV-2. They can never find that. What they can do is tell people there's a test, and what they look for is influenza A or B or whatever they want to look at, and any other piece of detritus that they want to look at, and everything else, because the PCR can't identify it, can be determined to be SARS-CoV-2. How would you all know? And so it's a fraud that they're saying that it's a test for SARS-CoV-2 after admitting they never had the isolate to be able to do it. They say all this in this two statements. Very, very important to go get them. The whole entire thing has been based on this fraud. And we called this out. I called it out back in March or so. There is no test. We called it out in the Tennessee lawsuit. And you saw, if you watch what the judge did or the bar member did to that, complete adulteration to justice. And we tested that with the Supreme Court. The Tennessee courts are corrupt to the core. Like you would all, any of the choir would say, yeah, we know that. But see, most people don't think that. Most people don't know that. 50% of you just went ahead and got the jab. People around me, I'm now noticing, as I said, they're falling left and right around me, notwithstanding all the information you can give. I'm taking a fallback position to say, I'm just going to have to start watching people. And if they have side effects, maybe offer something they might try to do. But why would they listen to me now then if they're not listening to me now? And so, in some regard, part of this is the cause is lost to them. It's just us now, folks. As I said before, we're going to have fallen around us, and we're going to have to start taking care of those people as we defend ourselves. You know, if we care, I suppose. Yeah, you can not care. What kind of a world is that going to go too quick? They're knocking on your door. Removal of COVID tests and should no longer be used or distributed. That's the FDA saying that, folks. Okay? So, we have the proof that there is no test. There hasn't been. It's all been a fraud. John Rappaport pops up with his discussion on this. He offers another document. And so I've offered you his title is They Had No Virus When They Concocted the Test. And the virus. And so he goes back and explains it. The CDC has issued a document that bulges with interesting and devastating admissions. The release is titled, The Lab Alert Changes the CDC. Some of you sent this to me here last few days. Like I said, I had this back on Sunday. Everyone can go read it. You go to the FDA, you go and you do the drop down to see more information. You read it in there. You read the horror, folks, of what they passed by everybody. That never existed. And he goes on to write here and basically states the first paragraph, after December 31st, 2021, CDC will withdraw the request to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, for emergency use authorization for the CDC 2019 novel coronavirus, 219-nCoV, real-time RT-PCR diagnostic panel. The assay, first introduced in February 2020 for detection of SARS-CoV-2 only. CDC is providing this advance notice to the clinical laboratories to have adequate time to select and implement one of the many FDA-authorized alternatives. Well, why wouldn't they just end it now when the FDA just says it has significant problems? Is how you're watching them get rid of their stocks, right? Has nothing to do with science, has nothing to do with reality, has nothing to do with communicable disease. It's how to get rid of novel product and novel testing products. Many people believe the CDC is giving up on the PCR test, and means that detecting the virus. John Rappaport says, I don't think the CDC is saying that at all, and I agree. They're trying to get you to believe there's a different test. They are saying the PCR technology will continue to be used, but they're replacing what the test is looking for with a better reference sample, a better marker, a better target, a better piece of RNA supposedly derived from SARS-CoV-2. CDC, FDA are confessing there has been a problem with PCR tests to which they have been used to detect the virus starting in February 2020. Right up to the minute. In other words, millions and millions of COVID cases based on PCR tests in use are all suspect. He's being nice. They're fraud, folks. They could not be just suspect. And so, John Rappaport offers another article, talks about the FDA also has a SARS-CoV-2 reference panel comparative data. His article talks to this document. I want you to have all of it. I want you to see what I've been saying is now coming to fruition. Since they say February, in March, I was saying, no, there's no test. And this is your government. This is a government that then went warp speed to buy a China product, a Trojan horse product to put into so-called something that they're fraudulently claiming is a vaccine to inject their population with. And I told you also, don't forget, because they say this is for biosafety and biosecurity. That's the public face of Title 50 showing a need that they can use the exceptions in biological warfare to say that there's a safety use in this, a biosafety use. That's the cover for your gain of function, dual use, military cover. That has never had a foundation. To me, this begins and ends the whole. If I didn't know anything else, this would end it right here. I don't know about y'all, but I haven't seen much reflection of this problem anywhere because of it. I've seen a couple of states, we may get to those, that you're going to see a distinction across the nation here in the United States, how it's working differently in some states, and how still there's still states that are locking down and going to use the military to do so. This is an inconsistency across the board. And it can only be created because there was never a foundation, a lawful foundation for it in the beginning, and I've explained how you get at that. You just don't protest. And interestingly, some of you are now finding out, and I think we may have the more accurate two questions. Before, you used to get an answer when you asked about, remember, generally whether or not there was a report, and they come back, well, we can't send it to you because it's private information. At least you got that answer. Now you're asking the two more important questions. Do you have it for me? And I'm hearing from y'all. You're all hearing crickets. And so I'm working on that in my mind. How are we going to address silence when you finally do find exactly the right answer? And it'll probably go through a default process, but I won't get too much of that here. So when you get to the proper question, folks, they go silent, showing you they're criminals. And now the problem is, how do we get there? And are there enough of us to actually cause that to happen? Each one of us can do it for ourselves, but I think there's a bigger problem going on because it isn't stopping. As we find out in another title, moving on now, so there's no test, and I want you to remember that. Every time I read something that talks to COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2, understand they just said there was never a test, ever, for them to be saying anything or for anybody to be acting out like they are. 74% of COVID-19 cases from Massachusetts outbreak occurred in fully vaccinated people. The COVID-19 outbreak in Massachusetts County in July primarily occurred among vaccinated people, sparking fears of a variant of the CPP virus, the China virus, can impact the population more than any other strains. If you've listened to me this long and you've listened to me even today, even just a little bit till now, you realize that first paragraph is full of fraud and lies and deception. There is no China virus. It's a China profit patented ingredient that the United States is building the bioweapon with and adding more to. That there is no variant to a chemical weapon. It's somebody's response to a chemical weapon. And guess what, folks? That's a lie, because what? There is no test. Can we stop now? Can we go back to normal, whatever that was? can we please stop this nonsense? But 74% of the people, we look at the sensation, 74% of the vaccinated are doing it. The breakouts, they call it. No, these are people responding to this poison, which apparently has the ability to do plasma shedding, which they can cast out, which they can interfere with you asymptomatic, healthy people, which are now the threat. How do they support this? How do they know, if you understand they're really, they just agreed there has been no test, what is the medical reports that go through the communicable disease laws of your state based on when they finally get to the assessment of what they're going to do about it? About what? If you don't have about the what, you can't make a mitigation measure underneath the secondary provision of quarantine, which is prevention. And I say that particularly to a listener, hopefully you're listening today, the prevention is what they're taking out. They've stuffed you underneath the quarantine, and they forgot that prevention is what they're acting under. And they've expanded this prevention into everything you see in the world, and yet we don't have a test. Now, that's all been claimed, but here, again, the enemy amongst us, our own, if you call our government, the agencies of a government are the enemy of the people. Have agreed that they had never had the basis upon which they've been acting. That they can say outbreaks of SARS-CoV-2 infections, including COVID-19, which is what? Under law, SARS-CoV-2 is really just symptoms. It's not a thing of its own. You see that right in the title there, in the studies that they do. But the CDC offers to us. They promote that there's variants. They promote that Massachusetts could have them. They admit that people that are getting this are 75% underneath the symptoms of what they call a variant. And this is telling you that they're having chemical biological responses to a chemical weapon. The other 24% that they have that are supposedly, these were symptomatic, if you have to understand how this works, not asymptomatic either. The other 24% are now subject to the PCR, which we're going to find out changes. If you haven't been vaccinated, they use a different cycling on the PCR. Why? This is really no good test anyway, even if they could see stuff, than you do if you're not vaccinated. Why? Because they need to run your cycles up when you're not vaccinated. Just find something in your body that your body's immune system's responding to say, ah, there it is. Remember, the PCR does not identify dead from living, does not identify actual strings and actual connections, and it is, I forgot to go through this discussion. If you look at a linear editor for video, and I can't remember, I won't get too deep in this, there's a couple of roles and scrolling and this tools, and if you look at how the frame works on a linear editor for editing, you'll see what they're doing with the PCR. They can scroll it on up with their reagents. They can move that frame of what they're looking at until they find a match. It doesn't mean it means anything. It just means that they can find this match. And how, I mean, after you look at enough genomic sequences, you're going to have a match at some point. You're only dealing with four characters, correct? And so we keep moving on. I don't know what the basis now for this whole thing is, and yet you're watching governments just come down, most of them, not all of them. There's a couple that are lifting it back up, but they still hold that scepter of power, I'm noticing, even the ones that are lifting all this stuff. Then we have another report here. Caught red-handed, CDC changes the test thresholds to virtually eliminate new COVID cases among vaxxed. This is almost old information returned to me through emails saying, look at this, there's a follow-up on this. This is what they did. I told you exactly they would do that early on. I said they would be adjusting this because there's nothing set in the test. They can use it. They can put their little glass over what they want to see, and they have the ability to turn on how much light they're going to use to see it. And then we see now a report coming in that says, caught red-handed, CDC changes test thresholds to virtually eliminate the COVID. They had to do it. Why? Well, they had to do a couple of things. One, that they had to have it, lower it down, because they knew when they injected you, they didn't need the high threshold cycles to see. They were just injected with it. But then they had to show they did something after a time. And so they were using this feature of cycle threshold in order to make a moving, you know, they can raise and lower the bar as they needed. Well, this delinking now, they have to cut the PCR from the test that would look at that was using the influenza numbers, and they've joined it, as I told you they would, into, and I told you and predicted it was from the influenza numbers because they started using that multiplex assay test. which has the reagents to look for specific things in influenza. Now they can go ahead and do, oh, these, they can now tell you, oh, we got influenza A, influenza B, influenza whatever, X, Y, Z. We also have this extra that must be SARS-CoV-2. So here's the news coming back. I wanted to place it back up, remind us. The CDC was admitting that they could mask these things by changing these cycles. Another one, CDC PCR tests to be run at higher cycles from unvaxxed as vaxxed, ensuring positive tests for the unvaxxed and negative for the vaxxed. That surely throws into the question how 74% got caught and the 24%, 75% or so, and the 25% that were unvaccinated got caught in Massachusetts. How explains why those would be on a test, if you will, on this tool, on this technique, on this deception-creating tool, how the positives it throws could have gotten 24% of the unvaccinated. We can't even tell these numbers at all what they're doing. And yet the CDC comes out and tells you the truth. They want you to believe it's biological, but we're looking at a chemical weapon. And we're looking at people are being tested to be throwing off variants that unvaccinated people can't be throwing off. But if you do if you throw a test on them that's incorrect, you can say that 25% of them. I mean, that's almost within the threshold of error. You can just throw the 25% underneath it and throw them underneath that bus too. And what are we doing? We're focusing, forget the focus that the shedders are going on because of the vaccine. We'll focus at the 24% that apparently are causing the problem. When you look at what they said in that test, they said that they were vaccinated in social areas. With symptoms, folks. What kind of a test is that? You run a bunch of sick people into a congested area and then complain that people got sick. You know they're sick when they went in. They had symptoms. And then you go test everybody and then find out the ones you send in were sick. And then you blame 25% more. That was the test. That's what they're using to do all this nonsense. They send in symptomatic people and then blame the asymptomatics for carrying the disease. It's fascinating to me. Fascinating. And we put up with this nonsense. Now we move on now, we keep moving with all this fraud. It's all, you know, like I said, I told you it was going to come out, and here it is for those of you that want to. Just find this proof, lay it out. I don't know what y'all want to do with it. I got some, and I've had some suggestions, and it really depends on who you are, what you want to do, what you want to get out of it, what your intention ultimately is, and how you're going to use it, when to use it, all this stuff. And we move on to say, this thing was a plan, it had a certain outcome. They're going to press the wall for the plan that they, or the future we want, which is them, the they. We find that they've been using fraud to advance it. There's no pushback in any substantial way. Now we hear this coming out of the Australia Prime Minister. Got a tweet. You just get the tweet. You can track it all back if you want. Just want you to know this is these people are playing for keeps. And they're going to blame you for it, and they're going to blame you because they provided you a benefit. If you want to see how twisted this starts to get, and yet when you do find it does harm and you say no, they're still going to beat on you some more. They'll blame you for doing it. When we see this evidence coming out of Australia, the Prime Minister said that if you die from vaccine, it's your fault because it's your job to get informed consent from your GP prior to getting vaccinated. And when you get this and listen, he says the government offered you the ability to get informed consent. And when you did, that cleaned our hands from any liability. That's your fault. On the other side of that, if you don't get the jab, even after being in informed consent, your life is going to become literally a living hell. Because you're not going to be allowed to go anywhere. And they're saying, as we find out, the test is not good enough. Of course, it was never good enough. What do you expect? But it's not testing anything anyway, and there's nothing to test for. But they're wanting you to get the jab, and it's your fault when you do get the jab, and if you don't get the jab, you're going to be penalized with some kind of a withholding. They don't really they're not forcing you to make the decision. They just offer you only one way to go, and the other choice is to go over a cliff for yourself. Until people figure this one out, I'm not sure what to say. I'm not sure how people want to respond. A lot of people don't. They just want to hunker down and hope that they're not seen. Letters to the editor. No vaccine card, no entry. It's time to put restrictions on the unvaccinated. All right? Why? They can't possibly know why, because there is no test. They don't even know what they're fighting. More evidence that there's this influenza, which they already have vaccines for, and they can't make you get those. So why is it no vaccine, no entry? This is the height of the criminality going on against you. I think at the bottom I wanted to bring up something because I talked about it before. I told you this is a certain condition. This is a letter to the editor response to the fact that you should be, the unvaccinated should, well, they've said you should starve to death is what one story I just heard, but you should not enjoy life because you're not vaccinated. One letter writer suggested the surcharge be added to the health insurance premiums to help encourage COVID vaccines. I have a better idea. How about if the unvaccinated are denied coverage for COVID-related illnesses? Let them pay out of pocket for hospitalizations and consider a long-haul COVID illness to be a pre-existing condition. This is apparently where there's social medicine. The writer goes on to say, enough with the carrot, it's time to break out the stick. In other words, these people were never, ever offering alternatives that were appropriate and under consent and your choice. It's always been a tactic to offer a carrot. As I said when I did the broadcast back around February of 2021, carrot munching stickler. The carrot munching stickler was those of the people that are munching those carrots, and the stickler that they're attaching problems to people that are innocent. And that was the program I think I did, which I was explaining how you're going to deal with the third party where a state comes out and gives license to that third party to deny you when you have no symptoms. You aren't been determined underneath a lawful due process to be an infectious agent or the carrier of one, and you haven't been determined to be a risk to the public. I said 3 points, two of those questions are getting silenced so far from the people, the critics, the government critters. Where the questions before it, asking for generic medical reports, got at least an answer. Carrot munching stickler. Those of you that are munching the carrots and going along with this are going to find you're going to have a problem to those that really understand how to challenge what the problem. The stickler is going to be the response against an improper or a defamation to someone in an imposition that doesn't exist in law when people start figuring this out. The government's doing it right now in authoritarian states that you thought were democracy. And they're getting away with it. And they're going to continue to get away with it. The stickler's going to be when the people step up. Not the stick. But you see, it was all along that this was all carrots. Because they intended to, it always meant to be that they were going to force you. It's the attitude of that one party that you live with. That's that undiagnosed mental case. And he's not alone. I want to remind you, though, I've been, even if not so formally, been on point about what I've been telling you about and what you're going to need to address. Those are the third-party criminals that have no jurisdiction to have an opinion whatsoever about you or this prime minister in Australia that has the audacity to tell you, well, we gave you informed consent if you would have accepted it. Now that you took it, you don't have a right to complain that you got hurt. Oh, and by the way, those that know you're going to get hurt and don't get it, here comes the stick. Is not looking at through the law and alternatives is really forcing that outcome that they've wanted all along, that no one responded to, other than to go out in the streets and cause a bunch of, that's kind of nice to see, like I've said, the yellow vest thing, but you're going to watch in those areas that's coming down the hardest. All that protesting means nothing. Moving into how long this is going to start moving out, we're now going to be beyond 2030. Nearly vaccinated, near full vaccinated Iceland says reintroduced COVID-19 restrictions may hold for 15 years. Notwithstanding a high vaccination level, the island nation has since seen a rapid rise in Delta strain, with the fully vaccinated making up a large portion of the new infections. Okay, yeah, that's almost predictable. Why is this myopic view that we can't connect up vaccines with the variant and only vaccines with the variant and maybe vaccines cause the variant to understand the stupidity that we're watching and the this mental illness. That's all I can. It's an abusive mental illness that people live under. I don't know, maybe up in Iceland, I'm sure you folks are nice and good people, but you have people in really the lowest places that have mental conditions that happen to be in decisions-making capacities. They're going to introduce restrictions on something that was supposed to be a vaccine by definition to eliminate all other restrictions. Tells you someone's lying. Somebody's lying. And if you, again, this is going to go around the world. We're going all the way around the world. How long this has been coming on, been planned. Again, all the governments are buying from China this lipid that is the likely the most important part of the bioweapon that they've created against the people by a bunch of people that want the population down, that want more controls, that want to do it, more importantly, I think, that in an administrative capacity, and then not even that, one step below that in governance, as we say you shall. And we see this more affecting now, as a, and again, this link came in right after the last broadcast, the unvaccinated in China, the unvaccinated are almost completely banned from public life. Why? And now we find out there's no test. Why would the unvaccinated be the target? When they're supposed to, if due process is supposed to work, they're the ones supposed to be identified by some report to be a thought to be a risk, and then an assessment as to their actual risk, and then a mitigation for that specific one who may be at risk, and to limit and prevent the spread of that one to the others. How is it that unvaccinated on their own would be banned from public life? But we said before, this is the social credit state beginner. This is what was leading the charge, and this is how this is going to work. You're watching China tell us how it's going to work, and if you think you're not in China's the only place and how they're going to ban you from life, France passes controversial vaccine passport law. So in a light criticism, all you folks in France, all your protesting mean nothing. And I'm getting to the point to wonder, well, will anything mean anything? But I do believe that if a lot of you got together and did the black and white, you're going to run the rats out of the foundation they have in your ignorance relative to what they haven't done in the due process that was required to be able to give them the jurisdiction to have an opinion. They have not established the jurisdiction or the power to have the opinion. The French passes controversial, France, now this is the whole government now against you, passes controversial vaccine passport law. The French legislature has ignored widespread protests and passed a law requiring all residents over the age of 12 to produce a COVID-19 vaccine passport to travel, visit a restaurant, and other normal life activities. Opponents of the law have said that they will continue protesting. Okay, a lot of protesting didn't get them any good, so we're going to continue beating our head against that wall. Anyway, here's so France passes that passport. You didn't. Everyone said it wasn't coming. Okay, fine. Sorry, France. And then I read this, blew me away. I hadn't even heard about this one. Northern Ireland admits vaccine passport data leak. So while France is getting all the news, Ireland actually puts it in place. You have a passport there. Okay, excuse my ignorance on the people across the pond. I don't have contact with y'all. So I see it through the news. Northern Ireland's online vaccine passport system has been temporarily suspended following a data leak. What have I been talking about? This technological nonsense in the digital world you live in, and it's hackable. I was just talking about that. So they're saying, oh, this is not that bad. But this points out the whole problem with having these digital passports working from your phone or whatever else you want to do, and all these codes, that they're hackable. And someone's already hacked that one. And this is your life. When it's you trying to go and remember all the normal things in life require this, isn't just a vaccine. That is a plan to destroy your life, to control you. So Northern Ireland already has their passports. Okay, fine. Now the whole world's going to start falling, isn't it? And then we say, who's going to help administer this at warp speed? Again, Australia, the crown prison colony, showing that it's always been such. Australia calls in military to enforce lockdown. More prison, right? Lockdown. Australians who merely post anti-lockdown information online could face fines of up to $11,000 under draconian new piece of legislation under the proposal, which is being pushed by opposition in New South Wales. Protest organizers would be fined a whopping $20,000. A person who attend to be fined $5,500. Punish, punish, punish. They're going to bring in the military in order to start to help all this, to initiate all this, and to keep it all controlled. As I was telling you, this is, again, Operation Hindsight 2020, and people proved they weren't, they had no hindsight on what they'd just been victimized by in 9/11. Israel to start COVID. You think this ends, folks? It's all on the thread of, you think this ends? Israel to start COVID booster shots on Sunday. Pfizer ups a 2021 revenue expectation from $26 billion to $33.5 billion. That's Bravo with a B. Pfizer mRNA injection, not a vaccine there, is it, that we were told early this month was 99% effective in preventing symptomatic COVID-19. Oh, wow. Asymptomats. It doesn't even, you can't even measure that, right? Yeah, because you can't, that's unlawful for them to be considering someone who's asymptomatic to be a vector. In Massachusetts, they found out, but that slipped by in the story. All the ones that came out that were 74 were symptomatic, and they were willingly going to lots of places to infect people, I suppose. And guess what? 24% coming out that were not vaccinated that got something, and we can't test for what it is. If it was just a cold, that was pretty small return, isn't it, when you think about it the other way? But now we're finding out not 99% effective, but it's only 39% effective against the Delta variant. Again, there's no variant to no infectious agent, and what they're dealing with is a spin-off morbidity relative to the chemical weapons attack that your people are suffering, and it's this new vaccine can't stop that because it causes it. 39% effective has to be an error in testing. What test did they use, folks? Yeah, but anyway, they're going to go to a booster shot if you think this ever ends. And I told you Israel was going to be on the front end of this in the implementation of this bioweapon. And here it is. If you're going to learn what's going on, they're willing to do that to their people and anybody. And they're promoting that everyone should do it. You're watching. Everybody has to be vaccinated to bring the world safe. And everybody who gets vaccinated is going to be brought susceptible to heinous, heinous chemistry. I don't even know what, it's not bioweapon. And yet we have resistance. But even so, look at the limit. Mexico won't be hostage to Big Pharma, President says on internet. Predicts trouble after country rejects COVID jabs for kids. Okay, great. He can't find the justification for kids, little goats. That's fine. There shouldn't even be a consideration. So he's a first leader to come up to say that. He may be the next leader to be taken out like the other three countries, but let's go with this one for a bit. If you notice, he was agreeable that adults should go ahead and be attacked. And so while I feel good that there's someone at least looking out for your little ones, you're not looking so much out for you. When, in fact, they have this as a choice, and this is where I want to get to as we move along. You see the law, you see it being foisted, double down against it. You're going to be forced in the future you want, and then there's an alternative. And we see it in a couple of cases, and I think DeSantis came up with the same answer in Florida. But Texas Governor Greg Abbott signs order banning COVID vaccine and mask mandate. Texas Governor Greg Abbott on Thursday signed an executive order, not law, prohibiting mask mandates and COVID-19 vaccine requirements for government agencies and municipalities statewide. Now, I go through it again. I can read. Just read the setup just to let you know. There's an alternative that says a state as large as Texas could not find validity. How they could find validity before, I don't know. But anyway. Find they could not validate the propriety of the mitigation measures at all in the state of Texas, for as big as that place is and as many people live there. And so they're going to end it. DeSantis in Florida, same thing. How is it in a country, and I'd speak way outside of what I even want to talk about. There is no test for anything that they're responding to. Should be the answer across the country. But how is it, even if we entertain this even a little bit, How is it two states can say our population, and remember, Florida has a fairly elderly population. Okay, maybe they're not at home right now. They maybe went north. Anyway, they have a fairly elderly population. How is it an elderly population and one as expansive as big as Texas can have zero restrictions and other states have military knocking at your door? If there was an objective basis to this thing, proving, again, that's not a question, proving there's no objective basis to this health prerogative that the governments have picked up on, and I'm not agreeing with Greg Abbott on this, that he has an authority to actually say that. He should have ended the emergency, and there's no mitigation to have. They have no test upon which they've been relying now. They never did, but now the CDC and the FDA say so if there was a question. If I have to wait for the official documentation. And so we have evidence that of the fraud, the entire fraud. You can't really look at the condition of this. And when you look at other like densities, population densities, there's no way. There's no way this could have ever been the way it was. And I've identified this back in March as well. It was the bribe to the local jurisdictions. Every local commissioner who agreed to the bribe money is really committing treason for money. Anybody who continues this emergency and doesn't go back and say they had no basis underneath the communicable disease law is committing treason. They do not have a non-fraudulent exigency that they can point to now. And yet, I see it continuing. And it's really, in a way, I think about that, that's really the scary part for me. I wonder, what do I do? What do I do? What am I doing? What is there to do in the face of this literal insanity? All these undiagnosed mental cases. The cases we should be worried about are these undiagnosed mental cases, not COVID cases. And so we get a little bit of pushback like someone means something. Dozens of House Republicans walk to Senate protesting mask mandate. You see, when I say that, you think about what I've been saying. They're protesting the mask mandate. Why are they protesting the mask mandate when we just found out there is no test, number one? Number two is each one of those in that jurisdiction, which is a district now, not the states, has its own communicable disease law. Why would you be protesting masks when they don't have, for each one of those representatives, a report generated that they ever had the thing and the assessment for how it would be best to treat that, whether by quarantine or other preventative measure? Why aren't they saying that instead? Shows you the Republicans or the Democrats. They don't mean you, they're not here to do what law requires and keep you safe. Oh, I agree, they should have resist. But not this way. When you look down farther, they say, well, son, they're doing this partly because they have immunity from prosecution. They are representatives from Congress anyway. And so, everybody watches the CYA. They all got a cover. They do it like, this is what I had with Ron Paul. He could say, Dr. No, but knowing full well whatever he said no against, he was still going to get money in his district because of the way the bill was written, and he could stand there and champion no, and in fact still get his district money, is the way you play the game. And this time they're playing it to the hilt. Okay, so the House Republicans walk to Senate protesting mask mandate. Why don't you protest that they have no right as the federal government to encroach upon the states and that the states are committing treason to not follow their communicable disease laws? And if you're going to make a law for the prosecution of all those people and counter what the Biden administration and the current DOJ is saying in order to allow it to continue. They should shut Biden down from having a say at all. He wants mandates, and they're trying to work that out. Yeah, you know why they're working it out? Because they don't have the power. They don't have the authority. And they know that. That's why they're trying to work it out. Otherwise, they would just do something. Where am I getting all this, folks? I've talked to you about it. If you haven't listened to me at all before, maybe you don't know. I'm not just talking about my opinion. There's references I'm not referencing to when I speak to you. But this is the fact of the establishment of the United States of America with the power relative to the states. It's the acknowledgement from the United States government in the district, through its participation in international conventions and international acts, such as the International Health Regulation, causing a reservation to be placed that says the federal government could not displace the state's prerogative in health matters, the state laws of which have a due process that's supposed to be going on, and to identify how this is supposed to work, none of which have done this. It's what should be prosecuted as a violation to people from the House. And it's not. So these people, though I appreciate their little protest, but you see, it doesn't do anything. Protests do nothing. I don't care how high, how low you are in the government, even the lowest, doesn't do anything more than protest masks. They don't expose that nobody has fulfilled the communicable disease law's requirement to gain jurisdiction, to have a say over your life, to do a thing against you. So I guess you can watch the video of them all walking in with their faces, all pretty faces of all the pretty people representing you, and it really means nothing. It's all just for show. If they really represented you, they would be repulsed at the fact that this thing went on more than 20 days, and they would have sought out what the guy behind the woodshed sought out. Maybe they would have sought out the guy behind the woodshed in order to at least line them up and let them look at their own laws and let them consider whether or not they'd been followed. But no, nobody wanted to do that. And nobody really wanted to do that for themselves in trying to push that along. And a couple of the places that did, we got a little bit through, but not near enough that needed to go through. And you see all the officials, the experts and the attorneys are doing really nothing. And I admire that they're there at some level. They're a voice. They have a way to say certain things. So why aren't they saying the right thing? Where's the evidence of it all? Right? It's not hard to find out. They got nothing. The government's got nothing to support. They have nothing to produce that's not a non-fraudulent exigency, the exigency of which they must demonstrate to bring on the type of prerogative power they've willy-nilly exercised on everybody, and everybody said, okay. Okay, a few of you didn't. But okay, you're still coming to the point, aren't you? You're now coming to realize what I've been saying, and you're now realizing this is getting really, really, really serious. And congratulations to you two states in Texas and Florida, and maybe I think it's South Dakota, wherever you are. Thank you very much for being there and receiving what your life you should be. But don't underestimate they're still hanging on to a residual of power. And that residual power comes with no basis for it that they can turn it on a dime. They can threaten those governors by certain types of facts. And if enough people are around those governors that can pull that off, it changes. You didn't get rid of the monster that sits there to come and take back what they got, what they lost in this first round. And so I've looked at the objective basis of this, and I said, please, folks, go to your communicable disease law. Start communicating in mass about what was supposed to go on. Start pressing the officials for violating the law. Start pulling in even things like treason and bribery and federal money that violates the separation of power. Bring in all you constitutionalists. This is your day. Not your opinion of the Constitution, but how it's actually supposed to work. I offer a bit of my insight on how that's supposed to work on top. In addition to my insight on how they're pulling this off through what people might consider the Delphi technique in its implementation to get the buy-in. They never have the evidence, and they always evade the savings clauses of your rights. That's where I learned how to attack them. And so far, so good, folks. Again, I only know what I know. I know what I've seen. I know my experience. I know who reacts to what and who doesn't. Through that experience, and it's guided me to tell you what I have for over the year. There's no excuse for us to be where we are. I've been saying it. Hashtag, you're on the right side of history on this one. This is the time to really step up. And this is in an area that if they can get it, they destroy every other right in you and property. This is how critical. These people knew what they were attacking. This is really phenomenal. Anyway, so there's a for Air Force that knows where they don't need what they don't need to do, and they're monitoring it all the time. And you have to listen in this story a little bit about why they don't need what they don't need here, and then turn around and look at your local cops, maybe why they need it. The Air Force has ordered troops to stop using the and to dispose of their body cameras. Now, I want you to adopt this to every camera that I think that's ever been made, you know, since the last 10 years because of the so-called smart capacity of everything. But the Air Force has ordered troops to stop using and to dispose of their body cameras, even as many police departments throughout the United States move toward requiring the use of the equipment. This directive handed down by the U.S. Air Force Security Directive on Wednesday is not applicable to many service members, given that only 13 of the 176 Air Force installations have security forces that use body cameras, according to the Air Force Times. The decision, quote, the decision was made because there is no current Department of Defense direction regarding body-worn cameras or an existing program of record that would provide service-wide funding or guidance of an appropriate use of the body-worn cameras or the storage of the footage required. Wow, pretty interesting. And so this is why you see the big deal about storage and why it's so important to get your video records through the requests, whether you get charged right through the case or whether you do it as a Freedom of Information Act or a Freedom of Records request. The policy change was not made in response to any specific incident. According to the Air Force spokeswoman, the memo from the Air Force headquarters directed all personnel not to use body cameras and said that they'd not authorized to use any form of wearable audio, video, and photographic recording system. The reason for that was because they don't know how it's tracked. Itself being trackable by outside forces. And I wanted to say, you better listen to that, because if the Air Force thinks they don't have a funding and mandate and don't have the facilities to record what's going on, and they can be hacked, maybe you can too. That wasn't a question. AT&T says it will bring a millimeter wave 5G to 7 U.S. airports this year, not to focus a lot more on the, because it's only in five, in these few places, the seven places, that the technology is now to put in closed spaces this technology for millimeter wave 5G, again, the accessing and the accessing of all these Internet of Things items within a confined and highly regulated structure as well. AT&T is involved. AT&T has announced the partnership of Boingo Wireless to bring its fast millimeter wave 5G, which it calls 5G Plus. So they're moving along. They also have, all these are just standards of implementation. They're not a frequency. They're a frequency band and then an implementation. So don't get lost in the 5G. They're not talking about your 5G routers, which it calls 5G Plus. Now they're moving a little bit further to more U.S. airports, with a goal of 7 by the end of the year, 20 and a 25 by the end of 2022, as they now expand the implementation of 5G. And for those of us that are kind of concerned about the graphene, how it responds in a millimeter wave field and or any other thing like that, this starts to become more of an important problem. However, how many are really going to be, however many are going to be traveling at an airport when you don't have your COVID fraud passport? That they can't prove you have one way or the other. That they can't prove the vaccine is a vaccine. That they can't prove a vaccine is a vaccine even if it was a vaccine. They can't prove it. How do you like that one? Did I confuse people on that one? I almost confused myself on that one. This is one place where a range-limited but powerful millimeter wave might actually make sense. And now you hear the limitation on why they have so many antennas for 5G. The high frequency is attenuated in material. And this actually becomes a problem for people. Some of this is kind of an interesting problem for me. Is yes, I understand the technology could do something, but that millimeter wave has to penetrate water and you and your skin, and sometimes that's not so good. Sometimes that's not so easy. And so you have ways to block this, and that's why there were so many antennas going to be talked about everywhere and everything, every power pole. And then they also incorporated the internal stuff, which is easier to link up these signals, but they still have the problem of penetration. Boingo, another third-party data receiver, is known for providing Wi-Fi to air travelers, but what AT&T is deploying isn't 5G-branded Wi-Fi. Any AT&T subscriber with the right phone and a 5G plan will be able to connect automatically to the network. And so there's now they're interlocking these 5G millimeter wave systems, and they're explaining partly what the problem is and that they work best in enclosed areas. The other problem is that they are radiation sources to whatever extent they may or may not excite materials that are amenable to those frequencies. And I'm not just not talking about graphene in your body and formulating up and instructing on what to do, but also all your Internet of Things identification type stuff. So, again, as we're going through and they're showing us how the 5G works and they need it for information and how it's limited, and the data acquisition that they're trying to do, and I told you this whole thing as it rolls into and rolls down into control, they're going to be adjusting things. It's kind of like a drug dealer. They give some stuff to you, and you like it, and so you start using it. Your phone is kind of like that. People now can't seem to live without them. And there's all kinds of stuff that they do this to. It's just the nature of who we are and what we do. You indulge in something, and then you kind of get overindulgent, and that's when they kind of hold it onto you. And this is what I was talking about, digital currency, and there's a lot of people that don't agree with me, and that's fine. I've watched how this thing is starting to come into form, that I told you they were going to start controlling. The government controls the data. The government controls everything about data, and they can control. There's a different vector of vulnerability to people, and we find a little bit of this, and I finally get to the story. Vin E., this might be your town that I didn't know about. Security service uncovers crypto mining farm in Venezia, allegedly stealing electricity. Very interesting story. It looks like there was allegedly it looks like by the story, the power company actually had a warehouse next to it that they started running crypto miners. And the government found out about it in Ukraine, and they went in and they claimed that there was power stolen in order to shut down the crypto creation, the crypto coin creation. In Ukraine, that they are looking to control that. And so those are people that are, and this is happening in China as well, they have another vector of vulnerability and a vector of attack by the government to go after the power that you use. And this has always been another limitation to people living in free worlds as well. The utilities is what they use to connect you up, why some people go off-grid. And you're finding out why government is going after those as off-grid and invalidating their right to be off-grid, especially in Florida, of all places, and interestingly. So utility connection, you'll find that in your motor vehicle code, is one of the creations of residency as a legal thing, a legal focus on the things that you have to make sure you don't connect up with. But anyway, Ukraine Security Service reported on July 8th that it exposed a crypto mining farm that allegedly stole electricity from regional energy distributor Vinnytsia, the city of almost 400,000 people, 270 kilometers southwest of Kiev. So the security service, the country's security system is looking at these to control the crypto mining, and it is contested that the power company actually had any interest in this crypto miner, and it's contested that the power was actually stolen. The point is, this is what the government does. This shows a vulnerability to that system, and as governments come online more and more to either co-opt these or control them so that they're the only ones that produce it, this is going to be an ongoing dynamic that's developing and shows you that the governments can come in, they have the power, and they are the force to be reckoned with, ultimately, that can alter your world. And if you don't understand how fast that can happen, you're not paying attention to what happened in this fraud called COVID, where they had nothing to prove what they did. And everybody believed it. I'm just going to leave those generalities in that far away. I know not everybody, but everybody, enough, caused it and allows it to continue. And then I read this about what governors can do and wondered about the halfway work that they do. And like Mexico, we're going to protect our kids, but no, I'm going to let this death and destruction serum hit my adult population. Illinois governor signs a bill banning police from lying to minors. Not minors like working in minerals. No, the little ones. He actually had to write a bill and sign a bill to do this. You didn't think that respect of people was enough if you can't figure out what's really going on in Illinois. Illinois governor signs bill banning police from lying to minors. Well, they didn't sign one to stop lying to you, the adult, you insect. No, they got to stop lying to minors. Why would you do that anyway? But that's what's going on in your government. That's what governments do. And I told you a long time ago, if you want protection, you're going to have to advocate a law just like this that says, don't lie to me, don't force me, don't mandate this, don't do that. Whatever it is, we're coming to a time, I told you years back, I said, we're coming to a time, if you are an innocent man or woman, you will need to advocate laws, not for you, but for the class of you, that you want protection for certain things. And you're going to have to actually put penalties in, because there are none, it seemingly. And most of you that read the law, you realize, if you read carefully, government's got this exception that kind of runs through the whole law. It's never been like we've been told. It's always been that prison that we lived in. And the one in the statute seemed to be written to protect the government from this, from people. The federal code's even worse in it than most state code. If you aren't someone attacking the government, you don't have a right in the about government rights. Unless the legislature gives it to you. So Illinois' governor signs a bill banning police from lying to minors. Okay, what about adults? Why don't we have a bill that said the police can't lie? Officials can't lie. Why don't we have a bill that says that when you are asked a question, you give truth? You disclose. And if you don't, you lose your job. Why don't we just say that? That's what you're going to have to do. It's gotten a whole lot more complicated. And I say that, and maybe the wrong word to use to induce people to start doing and protecting themselves, but no, it has gotten much more, I'll say challenging. Do I say it that way so that I don't say the word problem? It's all psychological word warfare. Hey, Illinois' governor signs a bill banning police from lying to minors. Really kind of interesting. Like Mexico, why are they allowing harm to come to the men and women of their country? The very people they're supposed to serve and protect, folks. And for those of us, for those innocents in telling the truth, what happens to you when you tell the truth anymore in this wacky, undiagnosed, insane, mental case world? U.S. drone whistleblower Daniel Hale sentenced to 45 months in prison. Daniel Hale, a former U.S. Air Force intelligence analyst who leaked information about civilian deaths caused by drone strikes overseas, has been sentenced to almost 4 years in prison under the Espionage Act. And we say, well, who cares? He committed a crime. Well, when you start looking at the type of information, they're actually exposing war crimes type stuff. Like, we're not supposed to do it to our kids and our kids, but we can do it to other kids. That kind of stuff. War crimes. Yeah. So he comes out as a whistleblower trying to explain and produce facts of harm that aren't supposed to be done by your government, because I told you they're doing them to you too. And the government came down and thumped on him, and the judiciary was okay with that. If you don't think you live in a prison, and if you speak out, there might be a little bit of concern on your part about what retaliation might be out there. Partly why I'm not paranoid, but I take every step I can to make it much, much, much more difficult for anybody to put onto me any kind of an allegation and provide to myself every opportunity of defense and or response as a matter of law. No opinion. So we move on to the whistleblowers, and what happens to people? Not to fear us, we got to understand there's a reality. Governments will conspire to take out the people that inform us and bring some truth to the spaghetti Western that was put on. Why you see the non-experts that people believe were experts, the false front of the doctors being experts in COVID, which they're not. I just pointed that out. I just proved that. The experts are the people that can read the patents. That's where the truth was and is. The doctors are victims of this whole thing, and they're just good-hearted people that are standing up, for the most part, those that did. They're the whistleblowers. They get destroyed. Why? What are you witnessing? Well, same thing with all these other people. What the governments do to conspire to harm. Decision to strip Assange of Ecuadorian citizenship hasn't come into force, his lawyer says, while preparing for appeal. The Ecuadorian government stripped Julian Assange for different reasons that were accepted by that government before. This would normally be a big violation. Some license or permit you get by the government and can rely on is not supposed to be pulled back like this. They made fabrications on how they were going to diminish Julian Assange, which is in large part another whistleblower, and admitted that he's a journalist. Whatever and I don't really, I'm not saying this in a negative. I think the guy needs to have his day in court, on his court, but he's not going to get it. He's a political prisoner. And you see governments working together to fabricate the whatever the record is they need. And there's evidence right there that if you're a whistleblower, you really have to watch out for yourself. Protect yourself. You don't not be a whistleblower, but understand the ramifications. Understand being someone who's going to tell the truth and what might happen and have protection set into it. That's why we need more and more of us coming together to be able to pull this together and stop this. It was an administrative court in Ecuador that decided this. On top of that, if you don't understand how this administrative world is working to destroy certain things, and these are needs of the people. The people need to know what the evidence is, and they need to be able to decide if they can't, if it isn't told to them to be the truth, whether it is the truth or not. And they need more information on top of that. So constricting the people that are the so-called whistleblowers and to cause them to be political prisoners, or worse, as we're moving into the next story in I'll have a video for the Assange story. You can get that if you need to watch a video. I have a link for that in the broadcaster. Reporters that are coming out to show organized crime working with the government, and you get murdered. There's three or four stories together about when you start to step up to take down, to expose, or you hope you take it down, you expose this corruption, has a consequence. And I say plan for it so you're not paranoid, and it also doesn't interfere with you fulfilling that consequence. Malta, I've had one short report. I talked about Miss Galizia in Malta. Malta responsible for the murder of journalist Daphne Caruana Galizia. She was taken out in a car bomb by, I think it was organized crime working with the government. And in this case, we got to look very carefully. This report says that Malta's responsible, but it was because they didn't act upon information to stop what eventually kills her. And this shows that at least one group in a country recognizes there is an obligation and duty in the government to not allow crime. What's gone on with COVID is quite a dismay then, isn't it? But an interesting story here. It doesn't give her justice. And it does expose the criminality behind it. It also shows what people are willing to do to harm other people to protect the crime that they're doing. And this is just a small insight to what organized criminals do and the organized criminal syndicate you're up against in this COVID fraud, the COVID fraud of all mankind, as I can tell. I can't see how a bigger one could be done. These people have got every nook and cranny of the world now down to where you have to have permission. You understand a passport means everywhere you go is a port of entry. You're in commerce, in admiralty. Okay? If you didn't know it before. I mean, these things are so consistent, it's almost scary that people haven't seen it. And then others who might see it just give the surface lip service about it. As I may move on, hopefully I'm going to get to it here real quick. An ally, I agreed with her voice, but at some point there was no response on really what to do. But moving before I get to that, and you look at, so the people that tell the truth get attacked, but those that commit the crimes are protected. No probes for Cuomo and Whitmer. Biden DOJ drops investigations into Michigan, Pennsylvania, New York nursing home COVID-19 deaths. How can you say that when you didn't have a test? But this is what you see. The people that commit, the organized criminal syndicate that are part of the system, are protected by the federal government. It wasn't good enough here that the state law should have protected them. No. They needed the sanction of the relief given by the federal DOJ. And the deaths of thousands of vulnerable people in nursing homes. So thousands. We've just found out earlier that there was no test for sure, that there's no equivocation of that. And yet, the politicians against themselves do not hold the government accountable for the crimes they allowed. In Malta, apparently, at least it's been stated. Here, it's been covered up. And it's going to be covered up. I don't know where the justice comes here. I don't have those answers. I just know if you just stay hunkered down and say nothing, they're coming to your door. and getting over now to the, who I broached a little bit quicker, a little soon here. I just was informed by an emailer, and thank you for sending me the email and letting me know you're there. I appreciate that you've been paying, you know, you're tuning in and finding favor in what I've offered, and help, and it helps you. I'll be contacting you here a bit, but it just was told to me, and this is, I guess, just recent news, but it happened a little bit ago. We've lost an ally in the sustainable Agenda 21 exposure in the death of Rosa Quarry. And I just found out about it. I knew of her, didn't know her. I didn't work with her or anybody. The closest I may have gotten was with a gentleman down in Southern California, but that, again, he was an attorney. We don't, I mean, there's just no, never a follow through. But Rosa Quarry is now dead. And interestingly, in a question, she died within 30 days of a video that I'll give you a link to, her last video, that she sounded pretty healthy for 15 minutes from beginning to end. I have a colleague that has a problem because of some nerve problem from an operation that within 15 minutes, he's running out of breath. He has to think about breathing because he can't, his body doesn't do it normally. And so I know I can hear how the stress comes on him. She, in her video, does not have any of that stress. That 30 days later or so, she's dead from a lung cancer, a fourth-stage lung cancer, which I didn't know too much about, but it's a fourth-stage lung cancer that she didn't apparently know about it 30 days ago before. And it either, and I didn't get whether or not, because there's not much information, whether it came from any other organs, because that's where it goes to the lungs last after it invades your body as a stage four, or it starts as a stage four in the lungs and goes to every other section of the body, and it's only survivable, if I got the numbers right, don't crucify me if I got them quite incorrect, of 7% survivability. So this thing came on her apparently without much, they talk about the illness but in the stories, but you'll read the stories, and they don't really, no one really gave me a definitive answer, but we've lost now another voice that was offering to expose and offered and explained how, and she was definitely into the Delphi technique, exposing it in the Bay Area in California. But I wanted to, she's an interesting individual. She was a Democrat, claimed to be a progressive feminist, and whatever the list of things that politically she was not anything that I'm familiar with. However, I always have said it doesn't matter what your political ideals are, what you think about yourself, how you identify yourself. When you're involved in someone stealing your property or money relative to property, you all become equal to each other in opposing that attack. And I think that's what happened with Rosa Quarry. She found out, being even a Democrat progressive in the state of California, there was criminality going on within these sustainable development agendas and these organized criminal syndicates that are inside your system already, and she became an advocate against them, whatever her political persuasion was. It was like as if we were all working from the same place. So I want to commend her on what she did. Rest in peace. But we've lost an ally, and it's going to take more. There should be more coming from, you know, to support it. I'm going to offer something, though. And one of my criticisms was, and not to speak ill now of the dead, but in her last video, she offers up a solution, but I want you to listen very carefully. They're not solutions. She actually says, and this is true, but it's not really a solution, that you already know the answer, and you already know what to do, is what she says, and that she will not tell you what to do or what to think and how to go about it. That is not an answer, and that's not even a direction, because my belief in experiencing this over 30 years is that people don't know what to do. We're all confused, and we're very ignorant about a lot of things. So while I accept her exposure of this serious criminality against us, which becomes COVID, which is climate change, which is the UN, which is, they claim to be your health agency of the world, we are still a little bit, we're a lot wanting on what really to do about it. And so I offer a link to her. She has a lot to tell you on what the experience is and what might you consider when you're what you're facing. But I'd ask you to start looking for what the answers are on responding to it. And I've offered behind the woodshed on a few things you can try. And I don't mean try. The things that we've done are effective in addressing things when you don't buy into what they're doing and you expose the savings provisions for your rights or your property and the protections of that are in the law. They're all in the black and white. Now, moving on into what the future they want, than what Rosa Quarry would have argued against, I'm sure. And she, again, died like in May, so it was a pretty surprise that this long before we hear. But food of the future, Generator, turns plastic trash into edible protein. It's not even Soylent Green now, folks. It's this very thing that they don't like, this protein turned into food, they say. Two U.S. scientists have won a $1 million euro prize. $1 million euro is $1.18 million prize in creating a food generator concept that turns plastic into protein. If you didn't think this was all like the world of chemistry, they refer to the 2021 Future Insight Prize. I'm going to move to that. What came to my mind when I said that was when we were being brought up and listening to all the propaganda was the phrase, better things for better living through chemistry, and then the term better pops up, better things for better living through chemistry. We hear today the phrase, build back better. We see better being a fixation word and a point that when you look at the Future Insight website, they use the word better in what they're doing. It's like brilliant. These are key words that show you who they are. And you see in this case that the lineage of the prize now is going to be going to someone in 2022 for CO2 to fuel converter. The very first prize was given in 2019. The pandemic protection gained the prize, enabling accelerated protection against newly emerging pathogens. Well, just that phrase alone tells me this prize is given to bring sustainable development, something Corey would have been absolutely against if she were to have identified it. And we see now through the lineage here, and thank you, this is through a links that were sent to me earlier, some of which I couldn't get to all of them. There's just so much to see, confirming everything, essentially. I just pulled out and high-graded a few. And we have the explanation of what this prize is about. And we can go to that link, and we can see what the pandemic protection was. And the pandemic protector, this is coming from this year's winner, was the plastic to protein for your food. And you have to understand that now what's going on here, that the pandemic protector is, this is Future Insight Prize, is like the Nobel Peace Prize. It's a big propaganda machine to advance the future that they want. And they're willing to try and get plastic to be protein for you. It's chemistry. It's better living through chemistry, but it's better living by someone who rules on by tyranny and governance, not government, with due process. And another thing into the future is this techno world is the Future Insight Prize for the pandemic moving into what the other future thing for the technocratic side is. The flexible computer processor is the most powerful plastic chip yet. Plastic chips. All right, plastic processors, computer processors, they're flexible. Now let's put that maybe into your skin. Let's put this on everything you own. Let's interact it with that 5G millimeter wave to power it up. They have ways to power itself up, made flexibly in a way to do microprocessing. And you're starting to see the trace and track world of the future. You're starting to see exactly how all this is going to work, and it's going to be so normal to you. Interestingly, the computer chipper designer is named ARM. And they've got this thing that can print them out now from, I guess, once they make the plastic, they'll turn that plastic chip into your food, which will still go track through your digestive system in order to keep track of everything that you're doing. The future we want is really here now. Grimner, thank you for what you do. I hope you get better. I didn't see you there today. Didn't hear the broadcast and the music. Hope you get back to and get all that. All the people that you are out there sending the word out, I thank you very much for the help. And the new listeners, thank you for being there. And I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, he just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.